ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka, text number 29. Yavirya shukena hita swayamvare Pramathya chaydya pramukhan hi shushminaha Pradyumna Samba, sorry, Pradyumna Sambamba, Sutadayo Para, Yascharita Bhoma Madhe Sahasrashaha, Yavirya Shukena Hita Swayamvare, Pramathya Chaydya Pramukhani Shushminaha, Pradyumna Sambamba Sutadayo Para Yaschahita Bhoma Vate Sahasrishaha Yeah? The lady. Virya? Prowess. Shulkena? By payment of the price. Hritaha? Taken away by force. Swayamvare. In the open selection of the bridegroom. Pramathya. Harassing. Chaidya. King Shishupal. Pramukhan. Headed by. He. Positively. Shushminaha. All very powerful. Pradyumna. Pradyumna, Krishna's son. Samba. Samba. Amba. Amba. Suta Adayaha. Children. Aparaha. Other ladies. Yaha. Those. Cha. Also. Ahritaha. Similarly brought. Bhauma Vadhe. After killing kings. Sahasrashaha. By the thousands. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The children of these ladies are Pradyumna, Samba, Amba, etc. Ladies like Rukmini, Satyabhama and Jambavati were forcibly taken away by him from their Swayamvara ceremonies after he defeated many powerful kings headed by Shishupal. And other ladies were also forcibly taken away by him after he killed Bhaumasura and thousands of his assistants. All of these ladies are glorious. Exceptionally qualified daughters of powerful kings were allowed to make a choice of their own bridegrooms in open competition. And such ceremonies were called Swayamvara, or selection of the bridegroom. Because the Swayamvara was an open competition between the rival and valiant princes, such princes were invited by the father of the princess, and usually there were regular fights between the invited princely order in a sporting spirit. But it so happened that sometimes the belligerent princes were killed in such marriage fighting, and the victorious prince was offered the trophy princess for whom so many princes died. Rukmini, the principal queen of Lord Krishna, was the daughter of the king of Vidarbha, who wished that his qualified and beautiful daughter be given away to Lord Krishna. But her eldest brother wanted her to be given away to King Shishupal, who happened to be a cousin of Krishna. So there was open competition, and as usual, Lord Krishna emerged successful after harassing Shishupal and other princes by his unrivaled prowess. Rukmini had 10 sons like Pradyumna. There were other queens also taken away by Lord Krishna in a similar way. Full description of this beautiful booty of Lord Krishna will be given in the 10th canto. There were 16,100 beautiful girls who were daughters of many kings and were forcibly stolen by Bhaumasura, who kept them captive for his carnal desire. These girls prayed piteously to Lord Krishna for their deliverance, and the merciful Lord, called by their fervent prayer, released them all by fighting and killing Bhaumasura. All these captive princesses were then accepted by the Lord as his wives, although in the estimation of society they were all fallen girls. The all-powerful Lord Krishna accepted the humble prayers of these girls and married them with the adoration of queens. So altogether Lord Krishna had 16,108 queens at Dwarka, and in each of them he begot 10 children. All these children grew up and each had as many children as the father. The aggregate of the family numbered in the millions. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunrutam Ina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation: the children of these ladies are Pradyumna, Samba, Amba, etc. Ladies like Rukmini, Satyabhama and Jambavati were forcibly taken away by him from their Swayambara ceremonies after he defeated many powerful kings headed by Shishupal. And other ladies were also forcibly taken away by him after he killed Bhaumasura and thousands of his assistants. All of these ladies are glorious. So in this verse we are hearing Krishna's pastimes of kidnapping the queens or these ladies. So we know that because Krishna is a person, he has a personality, therefore he has activities. And Krishna comes down to the material world to display his activities. Krishna is also performing so many activities in the spiritual world, and he comes down to the material world to perform activities to attract the conditioned souls so they can go back to Godhead. So in the material realm, conditioned souls are also performing various activities which are in imitation of Lord Krishna, but because it's an imitation, therefore it's a perversion. So in the spiritual world, Krishna is the supreme Godhead and everyone is his servant. Not only the jivas, but even the various personalities of Godhead, which are expansions of the Lord, they all are also servants of Krishna, as His Holiness Vedavyas Priya Maharaj was mentioning in Balram Purnima, that everyone is a servant of the Lord. Even Lord Balram, who is the first expansion of Krishna, he is also a servant. So in the spiritual realm, Krishna is performing various activities with his devotees. So as we know, there are the five primary rasas with the Lord. So all the living entities, they have a particular relationship with the Lord, and they are acting in that particular relationship. So in the spiritual realm, everyone has their original swarup and they're acting in that capacity. But when we come down to the material realm, then the conditioned living entities take the position, or try to take the position of the Lord, and try to enact various leela or pastimes. The word leela actually applies to the Lord, not to a conditioned living entity. So the conditioned living entity is trying to become the center and execute various so-called pastimes. So even in the material realm, which is a reflection of the spiritual world, all the rasas are there, but they are in a perverted form. They are a reflection. As example is given in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna gives the example of a banyan tree. So if we go to a body of water, for example, if you go to a lake, if you go to Albert Park Lake, there are a few trees on the banks of the lake. And in the reflection, you see the tree is upside down. So the material world is like that. And so the material reflection is simply based on our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So because we desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, like Krishna, Krishna has to facilitate the material creation in order to satisfy our stubborn desire to enjoy separately from Him. So in the material realm, all the rasas are there, but they are in a perverted form. Because they are a perversion, therefore they cannot truly satisfy any living entity. Because we are very tiny by nature, we are insignificant, so we cannot satisfy any other living entity. And we have miserably failed in satisfying others. Our track record is very poor. So here Krishna, in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he is exhibiting his leelas. So Krishna has a name, guna, he has qualities, he has a form, and he has leelas or pastimes. So in fact we also have these things, but because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his name, form, qualities and pastimes are of a totally different nature. And as it's mentioned in this verse, that Krishna, when he was present on this planet 5,000, he's still present, but when he descended 5,000 years ago, it's mentioned in the purport that he had 16,108 queens. So sometimes that can be, for mundane people, they're very astonished by that. How can God have so many wives? You know, what kind of God is that? Because they think of the Supreme Lord in terms of their material conception, they are unable to understand the Lord's leelas. They can't actually even understand the Lord's name, form, qualities, and what to speak of his pastimes. So they are astonished by the fact that the Lord has 16,108 queens. And they think that Krishna is a very lusty God. Krishna is actually very difficult to understand by people. Krishna steals butter, so they think, you know, how come this personality is God? He's a thief. He's stealing butter. He ran away from the battlefield. One of Krishna's names is Ranchor. He would harass the babies by pinching them. He would hang on to the tails of the cows and go around. He eats with his left hand. And here he's a lusty person. He's marrying so many queens, and not only that, he has a relationship with the wives of some men also. So he has this Parakriya Rasa also, where he has an affair going on with women who are married. So when it comes to Krishna, people are unable to understand Krishna. As Krishna himself says, avajananti mam mura manushantanam ashitam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. So Krishna says, fools deride me when I descend in a human form because they do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. So because they are unable to understand the tattva of Krishna, and they go straight away to the pastimes, they actually commit so many offenses. So we should not approach the pastimes of the Lord directly. First, we have to understand the tattva. So therefore, first is Bhagavad Gita, then it's Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is the Prabhupada said Bhagavad Gita is the basics, is the ABCs. And the ABC also happens to be very advanced for us. Even a book like you take Ishopanishad or Nectar of Instruction, which is a small book, but it is very, very advanced. So first we need to understand how Krishna is God. Krishna is the creator, he's the maintainer, he's the destroyer. We need to understand the absolute truths. We need to understand the jiva, prakriti, kala, karma, and Ishvara. We need to have a thorough understanding of that. And then we can begin to appreciate the pastimes of the Lord. Yeah. It's mentioned somewhere in the second canto that correct me if I'm wrong, that if one should not proceed further if one hasn't properly understood up till the second canto. Is that right? Along those lines, there's some description Prabhupada makes in one of those purports. So the point is, one has to understand the tattva before we really dive into the leelas. And the tendency of people is to straight away dive in the leelas. And not only the leelas, but they dive into the 10th canto and the rasa leela of all the leelas. In India, there are so many Bhagavad Saptas where what they discuss is the pastimes from the 10th canto and specifically the rasa leela. So because they have no idea of the absolute truth, they commit so many offenses by taking Krishna to be an ordinary person. They equate Krishna with themselves. Or at best they think Krishna is a historical personality or a very powerful personality. And because they take Krishna to be material, they commit this offense. They commit offenses. But Krishna has to be understood as Krishna wants to be understood. So Krishna gives the system of understanding. Tadvidhi pranipatina pariprasnina sevaya upadekshantita jnanam jnanina sattva darshana. So Krishna says, just try to understand the truth by approaching my devotee, inquire submissively, render service, submission, service, and inquiry. So these three things have to be there. So one cannot understand Krishna by one's own intellectual prowess. It's impossible to understand Krishna. There are so many people who think because they have a very strong intellect, they'll be able to comprehend everything in creation. So the example of that is the scientists, philosophers, or in the Shastras, the Jnanis, who are trying to understand the absolute truth by empirical knowledge. But Krishna is understood by devotion. Bhaktya mama bijanati yavan yaschatni chasmi tatvataha. So Krishna says, I am understood by devotion. Krishna is understood by devotional service. And one has to perform devotional service under the guidance of a spiritual master. So a spiritual master is very important. One has to inquire from a spiritual master in submission and also by rendering service. Not simply just inquiry without submission and service. They both have to be there. And when they are there and when inquiry is there, then that combination is perfect. Then one can begin to understand. Then the spiritual master, who is the via medium, he begins to impart the truth. Because the spiritual master is the via medium, so one can see through the spiritual master the absolute truth. So the spiritual master has to be perfect. And the qualification of the spiritual master is given also in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Nectar of Instruction. He should be a master of his senses. And a spiritual master should know the science of Krishna. That's his main qualification. The spiritual master should know what Krishna is. Otherwise, how can he impart Krishna unto us? So he has to be fully conversant in the absolute truth by deliberation. And he should also be able to convince others by his potency. And the qualification of the disciple is that the disciple should be submissive and inquire and render service. And disciple means discipline. So unless there is discipline, we cannot really be a disciple. So when all these things are there, then the combination is perfect, and then we can begin to understand. So the example of the guru is Shukdev Goswami, and the example of the disciple is Maharaj Parikshit. So Maharaj Parikshit is very eager to know about Krishna, and because he's eager and he wants to know about, he's approaching the spiritual master with the right motive. He said that one should only approach the spiritual master if one wants to make a solution to the miseries of material existence, which are birth, death, old age and disease, and the threefold miseries. That's why we should approach a guru to make a solution, and we should want to know Krishna, the absolute truth. As my spiritual master was mentioning during the course of the retreat, that in one of his, I think in the last talk, he mentioned that people come to him for so many problems. They come for marriage problems, job problems. The list is endless.
Yeah.
PR or what should I do? They approach him for so many. If one is a spiritual master or in a prominent position, they'll experience that people are coming to them to make a solution for the material problems. But they're not coming to make a solution for birth, death, old age and disease. They actually want to make it, want to be comfortable in the material world, and they want the blessings of a saintly person, particularly a person who is in saffron. So saffronites are approached for material blessings a lot. Like Prabhu, you would have experienced, those who are in saffron here, they would have experienced that. So, but that's not why we should approach a saintly person. We should approach a saintly person to understand the science of Krishna. Then we will begin to appreciate these pastimes in the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, they are just, they'll be just stories to us. So here it's mentioned that one of Krishna's leelas is he kidnaps the women or the princesses, and then they become queens. So in the Vedic times, the Kshatriyas, they would kidnap the princesses. So there are different kinds of marriage. There is Gandharva marriage or the love marriage. There is Rakshasa marriage. Then there is Swayamvara marriage. There's different kinds of marriages. And in Kali Yuga, of course, it's forbidden. One should not accept sannyas. One should not accept many wives. But in the previous ages, the Kshatriyas were allowed to accept many wives because they were able to maintain so many. They were so powerful, and they had so much opulence, they were able to maintain so many. In this day and age, and as mentioned in the Bhagavatam, if one can satisfy one wife, and if one can maintain one family very nicely, he is considered to be an expert. So even maintaining one family is also a big challenge in Kali Yuga. What to speak of maintaining 16,000 wives. Of course, that was also quite a huge figure back then. But Kshatriyas would select their bridegroom. So there are so many. Even Arjuna, he entered into a Swayamvara competition for Draupadi, was it Draupadi? To win the hand of Draupadi. Yes, so King Drupad wanted to hand over Draupadi to Arjuna. So therefore, he set a very difficult task. He knew only Krishna and Arjuna could accomplish this task. And he didn't want Draupadi to marry anyone else. So therefore he held a Swayamvara ceremony where he invited all the princes of various states to come and compete for the princess Draupadi. So what he did was he hung a fish from the ceiling, maybe from a chandelier or something. So everyone had to pierce the eye of the fish with an arrow while looking down in a pot of water which was shaking. It was something like that, something very difficult. And so many of the princes tried, they all failed. And then Arjuna came, of course at that time he was in exile, and he was able to accomplish that feat. And as a result of that, there was a big fight. So generally that's what would happen. When the princess, all the other princesses would be defeated, when they would be humiliated, then they would attack the prince who has accomplished that task. And then there was a big fight and Arjuna ran away. Well, didn't run away, but he fought with all of them and he defeated them. So in this way, Kshatriyas would... This was engaged in a sporting spirit. And sometimes the other princes would die. They come to get married and they end up dying. But this was the Kshatriya spirit, because Kshatriyas, they like to exhibit their prowess. They have this Ishvara Bhav. So they, for a Kshatriya to get an opportunity to fight is very glorious for them. If it comes unsought, they are very happy, as Krishna mentions. If they die, they attain the heaven. If they win, then they attain they win the kingdom or whatever the booty is. So in either case, there's no loss for them. Therefore, they're very enthusiastic in fighting. But of course, such kind of fighting has to be based on dharma. If it's based on adharma, then you don't go to heaven. Then you go to, you might go to hell. So the fighting, the modern warfare is not like the ancient warfare, where the soldiers will go to heaven. Because the war is being engaged for an irreligious cause. The war is engaged for dominating the resources of nature. It's the war has been enacted out of false ego, therefore it will produce a material effect. In the sense, it will be a negative effect. So here Krishna, he kidnapped Rukmini also in that spirit. So we know the pastime where Rukmini's father, he wanted Rukmini to be married to Krishna. And Rukmini also wanted that. But Rukmini's brother, what was his name?
Rukmini.
Yeah, he wanted Rukmini to be married to Shishupal. And his father was also not very happy about that. So then Rukmini, she summoned a brahmana and she wrote a letter and asked the brahmana to deliver that letter to Krishna. And at that time, I think Krishna was fighting with Kalayavana. Jarasandha, yeah. And so I think it was the 17th time. 17th, 18th time. And this time Krishna left the battlefield. All the previous times Krishna defeated Jarasandha and he humiliated him by leaving him alive. He said, okay, now you can go back and bring your army, amass your army and come back again. And this way Krishna had planned to annihilate, because Krishna's mission was to reduce the burden of the earth. So Krishna thought he'll do that by
his plan was to get Jarasandha to amass his army various times and he would destroy them. That way he killed so many of the soldiers who were a burden on the earth. So then Krishna got this letter and he ran away from the battlefield. And Jarasandha said, look, you know, Krishna is a coward. So Krishna's name is Ranchor. So Krishna went to at that time Rukmini, in the letter she had written that I'll be visiting the temple of goddess Durga, and that time you come and kidnap me. So she also had this Kshatriya spirit, because she was a Kshatriya also. So she said, you that time you come and kidnap me. And she was very anxiously waiting for Krishna to come and kidnap her. And then all the other princes were there. Shishupal was there and so many other kings and princesses were there. And at that time, they were all there waiting for Rukmini to come out. And as Rukmini was coming out of the temple, she prayed to Goddess Durga to have Krishna as a husband. And that time Krishna rode very slowly on his chariot. It's described, he rode like a lion. And he just, you know, took her and put her on the chariot. And very proudly and slowly, he, like this, you know, he rode out of that assembly. And for a minute or a few moments, everyone was just bewildered. First they were bewildered by her beauty. And for a minute they could not figure out what's happening. And then everyone came to their senses and they realized that Krishna has kidnapped her. And then Krishna hid for the Dwarka and everyone chased Krishna. And then there was a big fight and so many people died. So many princes died. And Krishna has described that he humiliated Rukmini also. He didn't kill him, but he humiliated him. So this was the system back then. In Kali Yuga, this is forbidden. And Krishna also exhibits such kinds of pastimes to attract our minds. Because at this point, our minds are attracted by material things and material activities. At this point of time, our minds are attracted by what the celebrities are doing, what the politicians are doing, what our friends are doing, what's happening on Facebook or MySpace or whatever. Our minds are attracted to so many mundane things. But if we absorb our mind in the pages of Bhagavatam, then at the end of our life, Ante Narayana Smriti, we can remember the Supreme Lord and make our life perfect. So I'll stop here and see if there are any questions. Master Prabhu, any comments? Okay. Krantraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki.